Thank you for joining the Faith Church Podcast. Connect with us on social media to receive daily inspiration by searching at Your Faith Church on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Get live streaming notifications, receive daily encouragement, and stay up to date on the latest information. Follow, like, and subscribe today.
So there's a significance about today's sermon, and the number one significant part of it is it is brand new. It's fresh. Never been preached before. I was on my way to rehearsal to drop off all these singers. Incredible. But there was one up here in camel pants that I just really am fond of a lot. And she needed me to drive her because she's 14, going on 30, if you know what I'm talking about. Can I do that? And when we were driving here on the way, I heard the Holy Spirit say, you know that message you thought you were preaching? Did you preach last week in Florida? Yeah. He said, you're not going to preach that. And I thought, oh, crap. Come on, somebody. What am I going to? It's 4 o'clock. It's more like 3:50, but it's too late. But the message came to me in one moment. I went home and tried to write some of it down just because, you know, it's always scary up here looking at you. Not that you're ugly, but you can be intimidating. Come on, somebody. And the Lord spoke to me this word, and here it is. But before I tell you the word, let me tell you what today is. Some of you think it's Cinco de Mayo. That's why a lot of our drunken alcoholic parishioners are not here tonight, because it's Cinco de Mayo. I saw a buddy of mine, he put on his Instagram today, and it was a jar of mayo, and it was laying in a sink. And he said, Happy Cinco de Mayo Day. Come on, sir. But anyway, it's not about Cinco de Mayo. Today, there is a significance in numerology. You know, 666. How many of y'all know you don't want that to be your numbers? Don't tattoo that on your arm, right? It's a number of man. But 5 in numerology means grace. And today is the 5th day of the 5th month, and it stands to reason that God has got a grace word for you, an on-time word that I believe, come on somebody, turn me up to look, somebody ought to say amen to this right now. This is a word for somebody. So here's the title of the sermon. Look again. Look again. Look again. So years ago, Nicole got pregnant. We wanted to have a baby. And I told her, you know, hey, listen, let's do this. I mean, I always love it when guys say we are pregnant, or when we were pregnant, because we were never pregnant. She was pregnant. I had a lot to do with it, like a very small couple of minutes. Come on, somebody understand what I'm saying right here. Yeah, but then she carried this thing to term. Well, we weren't pastors. She was in the business world, I was in the business world, and we also, back in the day when you can make money flipping houses, we were doing that. And Nicole was working during the day and doing stuff at night, and she was pregnant with this precious little baby, and something terrible happened. She had a miscarriage. And you should have seen her face when she came out of the doctor's office that day to find out that what was in her wasn't alive. And it was in that moment there that I could feel the pain of my wife, that I couldn't do anything about it. And you might be there today to where the dream that you had and you thought you had was over. So what do you do in a moment like that? You know, you can't be like, hey, let me tell you a couple jokes. It doesn't work. You can't fix it with money. You're just hurting and you can't change it. But my intuition on the inside, I could hear the Lord say, look again. And so we waited, and some time passed using wisdom. And she got pregnant again. Look again. But during that moment, while she was pregnant, the enemy kept telling her, because of the things that you've done, because of the sin that you were in past times, because you did this, because of this thing that you had, because of that, you're never going to be able to have a child. You're not going to carry it to term. And then we went on a trip. She hadn't felt Ashton move. Because Ashton was very, very, she was mobile. She would just like, Nicole said, anybody ever kid that you were ever pregnant and the baby felt like it was going to claw its way out? It was like Ashton was in there. All that ADD that she has now, it was in there. And we were in Mexico, and for a couple days, she didn't feel any movement. And you know, the devil is a liar, and he'll try to beat you over the head. And then, like, day 5, she's scared. I remember we were in the pool, and she looked at me and said, David, I'm scared. She hasn't moved. And I don't want to go to the doctor and hear this again. And I didn't know what to say except to preach faith to her. I didn't know this was true for sure, but I knew for sure the last thing that I was, the biggest thing I was scared of was going to a hospital in Mexico. Come on, somebody, help me right now. Y'all going with me on this? No offense. I mean, no offense whatsoever. But I said, no, it's going to be okay. And by me telling her, look at me in the eyes. Come here, look at me in the eyes. This is not going to happen again. You're going to have this baby. God is helping us. The fruit of your body is blessed. In other words, don't look at what didn't happen, Nicole. Look again. You're going to carry this baby to term. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. And I'm telling you right now that just because it didn't happen the first time doesn't mean it's not going to happen the second time. Just because it failed the third time doesn't mean that God's not going to show up the fourth time. Somebody ought to help me right now. Whatever you're going through today, look again. Look again. Look again. And then I remember later that night, we went out to eat with some preacher friends that we were with. And we had a good time. And then all of a sudden, she walked around the room and she said, oh my God, she's moving. She's moving. And she started crying. And I started crying because I was so excited that she was excited. And how many of y'all know what didn't look like was it was going to carry to the end, that the devil was a liar? And you're like, what happened? Amen. You saw her up here today. Come on, somebody. God is still in charge. Somebody ought to help me right now. He can turn the situation around for your good. You just have to realize just because it didn't happen the first time doesn't mean that it's not going to happen. You just need to look again. So I've had situations where the loan didn't go through and you had to look again. I've had situations where you've lost the job and then you look again and come to find out it wasn't that job. God brought you there to get you here. And what looked like a demotion or a disappointment was actually appointment. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now for God to do what he said he was going to do. Now in Luke chapter 1 verse 5, it says, in the days of Herod, king of Judah, there was a certain priest named Zacharias, and his wife was the daughters of Aaron. And her name was Elizabeth. Everybody shout Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before the Lord, walking in the commandments of his ordinances, blameless before the Lord, but they had no child. Everybody shout that, they had no child. Because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. In other words, it doesn't look promising for them because in the natural, they're too old. But if God puts a super on your natural, you will become a supernatural carrier of the anointing of God. And God can do in a moment what other people cannot do in a lifetime. Verse 14, for the sake of time, it says, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. And now, after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, verse 24, and hid herself for 5 months. And here's part of the reason why she hid herself. If you study this out theologically, that she hid herself because she did not want people to think she was pregnant. She didn't want anybody saying she was pregnant because, after all, what if I'm not pregnant? What I want to challenge you tonight is on 5-5, is what did you think you were going to be pregnant with, but now you're afraid to tell somebody because, after all, it hasn't happened by now? Because you would look absolutely crazy to tell them you were going to land that contract. For me, when my dad died at St. Anthony's Hospital and I was rejected by my mother, I'd went through a terrible divorce and it looked like it was over. Because as a dream, as a child, I always thought I would be preaching. When other people were playing different games, I had a little bitty platform that my dad built. It was supposed to be a clubhouse, but he never finished it. And I would stand up there in those trees in South County at 2851 Olendale, and I would preach my heart out because I was 7 and 8 years old, but I knew what I was going to do. But then the divorce happened, then the setback happened, then the betrayal happened, and then God didn't discount me, but I discounted myself. But look again. All of a sudden now I'm divorced, abandoned, betrayed, rejected. Not healthy. And then all of a sudden I thought, I'm going to look again. And then I was invited to a little get together at Helen's Fitzgerald for salad and wings. Come on, somebody. Because somebody ought to thank God for some hot wings. I said, I'm talking wings right now. Do you know that Mountain Dew and wings are in the Bible? I didn't know this till John Gray told me last week. He said, Mountain Dew and wings are in the Bible. We were getting ready to eat some wings. I said, what? He said, yeah, the Bible says mount up on wings. Come on, somebody. As eagles. We're about to mount up on this. So I went there, and when I saw Nicole, there was a lot of guys fluttering around her. But when I saw her, I thought, you're going to be my baby's mama. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. But it looked impossible in the natural. And she was hurt and she was abandoned. And all the things that I had went through, she had went through. But I had discounted that God could do this thing that he has done now in my life. But when I look again at the goodness of God, all the pain and betrayal and hurt that I had to go through, that was part of the plan. Not that God caused it, but God knew that the first marriage was going to fail, and he had a look again moment. He knew that I wanted to have a child and Ken didn't, but he said, look again, I'm going to give you houses you didn't build, children you did not have. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. You got to look again. You got to consider the source. You got to allow God to do what only he can do in your life. I'm preaching good right now. Go ahead, give the Lord a hand. He's so good. Now, Luke 1:41, it says, and it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the baby leaped within her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. What happened here is now 5 months into this pregnancy, this baby hasn't moved. She doesn't think she really is pregnant. And then all of a sudden, an angel appears to Holy Mary, Mother of God. It says, blessed are you among women. And the angel of the Lord says, you're going to be found pregnant with the Son of God, and you will know no man. How many of y'all know that's a big story? Can you imagine going home and telling your dad, see, what happened was, yeah, right. You're engaged to a guy, and now Joseph, he thinks now that he's going to marry you, but now there's a lot of shame in his game because you came up pregnant, and could it be him? No, it's not him. The Holy Spirit overshadowed her, and now she's pregnant with the Son of God. But when the Gabriel came and made that announcement, she immediately ran to Elizabeth to tell her the good news. And the power of God was so much in that voice that as soon as Elizabeth's baby heard, little baby John, his cousin, on the inside, her spirit began to connect, and now that baby jumped on the inside of her, and she knew, I'm pregnant. I'm here tonight to tell you that you're pregnant, but it's been a while since you felt the baby move. And you needed somebody to tell you to look again at that job. Look again at that loan. Look again at that thing that you thought wasn't going to happen. Look again at that son or daughter that was off drugs and say, you know what? It doesn't look in the natural that it's going to turn around. But I trust God Almighty who is able to do it again. Come on, somebody. He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we could ever ask or imagine according to the power that works within him. I'm begging you tonight to look again. Craig, come here real quick. I got a call in Florida because God told me to start a church in Florida, and I didn't want to start a church in Florida. I got enough problems in St. Louis. And I did, and a lot of people have been helped. And so I got a call in Florida that Greg's wife happens to be, that her name's Elizabeth. And Elizabeth's lungs, young, beautiful young lady, and one of her lungs had collapsed, and it wasn't looking good. And they rushed her to Barnes Hospital, and they thought, you know, man, I don't know if this is going to work out or not. And they called me. I got on the phone with Greg and Elizabeth, and I started saying, God's going to heal you. God's going to turn it around. And over the next couple of days, they kept testing it and checking it out and seeing what was going to happen. And then they came back and they said, hey, you know, I know you guys prayed, but you know what? We're going to have to do lung surgery, and we're going to have to do that tomorrow. And KBN, one of our pastoral care guys, he went and he prayed. And KBN said, I believe that God's going to heal you, and you will not need surgery, and you will walk out of here. Well, the next day they came back in and they said, we're going to look again. Come on, somebody. Because when we look again, it seems like it all aired back up, and somehow you're receiving your healing. And I remember I went down to Barnes Hospital, and they had a beautiful private room overlooking the park. But how many of y'all know that's not a good place to be? And Elizabeth kept saying, I want to get out of here, PD. I'm ready to go. And he's sitting there going, hey, you know, it's going to be all right, and God's going to work out the thing. And the doctors came back in and they said, we've looked again, and now she's absolutely fine. And so they got the wheelchair to push her out. Greg went to get the car. Greg looks up and says, what are you doing? She said, oh, they were taking too long to get the wheelchair, so I'm just walking out to the car by myself. Come on, somebody ought to shout amen. I said somebody ought to shout amen. That was just a couple of days ago. And whether the diagnosis is looking bad, whether the job is looking bad, whether the husband is looking bad, look again. Because God has a plan. And His plans are not our plans. His ways are not our ways. It doesn't always work out the way you think it should be worked out. But it does work out. Because God said, I know the plans I have for you, and they're for good and not for evil, to bring you to an expected end. You have to keep your hope alive, and you got to say, I'm going to look again. Amen. I'm going to look again. Maybe today you're lonely, and the enemy's saying, you'll never, ever find the right man. You'll never find the right woman. I'm telling you, they come when you're not looking. You've heard that before. But I've heard that a lot. But I actually heard the Lord say just now, no, they come when you're not looking for them, when you're looking to Him. So you look to Him. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. And then God brings the right person in your life. Because there's nothing worse than being lonely with someone. Being lonely alone is one thing, but being lonely with someone is another. God's got the perfect mate for you. And so the enemy will say your biological clock is going away. You should have somebody by now. 25 of your other friends will be posting on Facebook that now they're with somebody. I'm telling you, my daddy used to say, sometimes it looks like they're going faster, but they're really going slower because what you're doing is in the perfect will of God, and it will last because it's built upon the rock and not upon the sand. Somebody ought to give God praise today. Look again, look again, look again. Everybody shout, look again. Yeah. Luke chapter 1, we just read the account, but then the next passage that I want to bring up is in Mark chapter 8. Everybody shout, Mark chapter 8. I want you to write it down so you can read it on your own time. Mark chapter 8, it says, then he came to Bethesda and brought a blind man to him, and he begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand, and he led him out of the town, and when he had spit on his eyes, he put his hands on him and he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up again and he said, I see men like trees. Then he put his hands upon his eyes and made him look again. And then he restored and saw everything clearly. What's interesting about this to me today is it went off in my spirit, look again, is that when Jesus healed him, Jesus knew how much power it would take to heal him. Jesus knew the answer to the question that he was not completely healed right then at that very moment. But how many of y'all know that Jesus asked the question not so he would know? Jesus asked the question so he would know the intent and the purpose of the person. The person could have said, this is good enough. I can't believe I can see it because I could never see it all. And now I can vaguely see. He could have said, well, you know what? I don't want to hurt Jesus' feelings because after all, if I say something like, you know, you didn't do it, then he might get mad because after all, he does miracles all the time. But no, this guy had the audacity to say, hang on, it's not 100%. I'm telling you that we don't serve an almost God. We don't serve a God that just barely pays the bills. We don't serve a God that just wants you to exist. We don't serve a God that is just average. Come on, somebody ought to say amen today. We serve a God that says, if it's not right, you ask in faith and say, hey, God, it's good, but I'm not satisfied. It's still a little bit blurred in my vision. I believe that I need to be able to see clearly with HD, 20/20 clarity, my banner years. And I'm not moved by what I see currently. I'm moved by what I say. And I say that I'm healed, I'm delivered, I'm blessed, I'm favored, I'm anointed. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. I'm talking to somebody on television. God has you on divine assignment where you are right now. And even though it doesn't look like this job is going to pay off, maybe you'll own that company. Maybe there's certain testings that God is doing to say, do you see yourself being here forever? Do you see yourself being in this condition? Do you see yourself at that level? Do you see yourself at this weight? No, and you can look again and say, hang on, I'm going to stay faithful. I'm going to put God first. I'm going to do the best I can where I am, and I'm going to not grow weary in well-doing. I'm going to keep God first, and God's going to get me out of debt. Come on, somebody. He's going to give me the favor that I need. He's going to open up the doors of opportunity. And sometimes when you are in a hallway where every door has been shut on you, what do you do? Like, just picture a hotel. I'm in hotels all the time. I travel, I think, 8,000 miles this week. So I get around, and I always forget. So I always take a picture of the hotel, the room number, because I can't remember what room I'm at because, you know, there's a lot of them. So I take a picture. But I've been in a situation a lot of times to where the access card didn't read anymore. And they check you out, and you weren't checked out. And now you've went down hallways and you've went up elevators and you're dragging bags and you get so aggravated. And you talk to a maid or somebody and they go, I can't let you in. You got to traipse all the way down to the front desk, which is 10 miles away. And you don't know if you should leave your bags or not. If it's just my bags, I don't leave them because I'm really worried about it. But if it's just Nicole's bag, I'll leave it. It makes me freer. Come on, somebody. And I go to the front and check it out. But what do you do in moments like that, in moments of disappointment? You get mad? Do you get angry? Do you blurt out? This always happens to me. I'm really sick of this. You can't find good help anymore. Or do you say, I'm going to count it all joy? Right at this moment, maybe God is allowing this situation, didn't cause it, but is allowing it to define patience in me. So that way I can become the person that I need to be. At the moment, he needs me to be that person. Because you don't know what it costs to be you yet, but you'll find out. Maybe you're a young person, you're 18 or 20, and you say, I wish I had a ministry like that. I wish I had a gig of church. I wish I had multiple locations. Listen, with every great opportunity, there is on the other side of that coin is great responsibility. And so sometimes there's things that happen to you, and the reason why they happen to you is because the enemy saw what God was going to do to you. But when you look again and you see all the stuff that didn't kill you, but it made you stronger, when you get to that position of power like Joseph was, or like many of you are today, you can look back and say, I know that this church was not built by me. This church was built in spite of me because of the goodness of the Lord, because of the mercy and the grace and favor of God. Somebody ought to give God praise today. Don't look at the current situation right now. Look again. Come on, somebody ought to say amen. It looks like you don't have a man. Look again. It looks like you don't have a job. Look again. Maybe God's working behind the scenes right now to bring and work all things together for your good because he's got big plans for you. Amen. And I don't know how the enemy knows, but he knows. Trust me, he knows. God said, I knew you and I formed you in your mother's womb. You. Point to yourself just for a minute. You. I would touch you right now, but there's a lot of you. So I want you to touch yourself one more time and go, it's me. So you got to think, if Jesus were to do it all over again, that he'd hang on that cross for just you. That's why I love that song. There's no mountain he won't climb up. There's no dark shadow that he won't light up. And then that part of the song always gets me, and I listen to it on my iPad all the time when it says, there's no door he won't kick down. And I'm telling you, God is working on kicking off with doors of favor for you. Come on, doors of opportunity for you. Somebody ought to give God praise today. You just need to keep your hope alive and say, I'm going to look again. I'm going to look again. Amen. Such a crybaby today because I know what God's got for you, and I know how close you are. And you say, well, how do you know? I just know it intuitively as your pastor. And then I also know it because you went to church and you're seeking God. Yes. There's a whole city in St. Louis and Illinois, really for that matter, all of America, where people don't think it's important to put God first. They're not seeking God. They're trying to find God online. They're trying to find God through pornography as a hope. That is their God now. That's where they worship. Their new worship point is their kids, their football or sports, and all those things are fine. All those athletic things you do with your children are fine. But the most important thing you can do with your life is to point your children in the right direction, because at one point, sports might not help them. But I tell you who will help them, the one who created the heaven and the earth. Come on, somebody. The one who knows the hair on your head. He's there. Look again. Last passage of scripture is found in 1 Kings 18, verse 41. It says this. It says, then Elijah said to Ahab, go up and eat and drink. And there is the sound of abundance of rain. Everybody shout, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. And you have to remember, they have not seen rain in 3.5 years. They haven't had as much of dew on the grass. And this man says, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. May I suggest to you that many times there is a sound prior to the visible manifestation of the thing you're believing for? In fact, if you think about God looking out upon the darkness and he said, let there be light, that sound created light. This church was created by words that I released because I'm the chief cultural architect here at the church, because this church didn't exist until I was living in a little apartment And then God led me to Nicole, and then we got married, and then we had all those things that I told you that happened to us, and betrayals and hurts, and then my dad died, and then God spoke to me to start a church and to sell everything we owned, and we started Faith Church St. Louis. And then it grew to thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And then God said, I'm expanding your territory. You've been faithful over this. Now I'm going to take you to the nations. Now you won't be just Faith Church St. Louis anymore. You're going to Florida. I'm going to give you faithchurch.com, which wasn't for sale. You couldn't buy it. We tried to buy it. We hired professionals to buy it. And then one day on Instagram, I was praying and seeking God, and or Twitter, somebody DM'd me, and it was a guy, Pastor Green, in Louisiana. And Pastor Green said, do you remember me? I used to sing with you when you were a young man and used to sing on Oral Roberts TV program. I said, absolutely. How are you? He said, well, I went through a rough patch, but I'm doing good. I pastor a church, blah, blah, blah. I used to pastor a church called faithchurch.com, but I dissolved it. I said, hang on. You own faithchurch.com? He said, I do. I said, is it for sale? He said, no, I've been offered $50,000 for it, $30,000. I've been offered, I don't even know how many times. It's not for sale. But he said, why? I said, because I need it. He said, oh, God told me a long time ago, whatever you do, don't ever sell it. But at the right time, I'm going to have a guy call you and you're going to get in contact with him and you give it to him. And faithchurch.com was not bought in or with cash. It was bought praying on my knees in Sunset Hills saying, God, if you want me to go, I'll go. Come on, somebody. And I sent professionals to try to buy it and they couldn't. But look again. Come on, somebody. I said, look again. Somebody ought to shout amen. I said, look again. He said, I hear the sound. So it always starts as a sound. But if your sound is a sound of, I don't think we're going to make it. I don't think we'll ever have a kid. There's more than one way to have a baby. God could have you adopt a baby. There's artificial insemination. God could drop a baby out of heaven. Somebody in the nursery could be sick of theirs. They could give you the baby. Come on, somebody. There are multiple ways that you can get a baby. Verse 42 says, so Ahab went up and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel, and he bowed himself to the ground. Put his face between his knees. He was praying. And he said to his servant, go up now and look towards the sea. So he went up and he looked and he said, there's nothing. And he went up seven times and he said, go again. He went up one time and said, go look. And he ran away. And a little bit later he came back and said, there's nothing. And then the fourth time he came back and he said, what are you seeing now? And he said, man, you know what? I think this is just the way it's going to be. We haven't seen rain or dew in 3.5 years. What are you thinking? He said, go look again. And then the fifth time he came back and said, still nothing. I can't believe it. You're wearing me out. I'm running up there. 30 minutes later, I'm coming back. He said, go look again. At the sixth time, the number of man, he comes back and says, dude, why don't you just give up? And Elijah said, no, I just can't give up because there's something in my spirit. I know that God called me to prophesy that. I know that I prayed that prayer. I know that God is going to answer that prayer. And the Bible said, you read it a minute ago, on the seventh time when he came back, he said, don't get your hopes up. Don't get excited. There is a cloud about the size of a man's hand. I think it might have just been so small, it was just pollution, but the guy was tired of running. Come on, somebody. So he looked at the cloud the size of a man's hand. It looked like Jim Carrey in the movie. He said, so you're saying there's a chance. And he started praising God. And then he said, you go tell all the people in this area to get their chariots and get out of here because there's about to be a downpour and it's going to get so muddy that all the chariots are going to fall. And it wasn't a few hours later that the sky became completely black and the wind began to roll in and the heaviest rain that they had ever seen in their life came in one moment because one guy had a word from God and said, look again, look again. Come on, somebody, look again. I say you go home tonight, look at your checkbook and look again. I say you start cutting out stuff and make a scrapbook about the house that you're going to live in and say, look again. Come on, somebody. I say you go home and cut out the body that you want and say, look again. I say you go home and put your kids on the refrigerator and say, look again. Somebody ought to help me right now. Because if God is for you, no weapon formed against you will prosper. He's got, still has the recipe to bring down manna out of heaven, to split a Red Sea, to get water out of a rock. He's the wheel within the middle of the wheel. He is the rose of Sharon. He is the lily of the valley. He is the bright morning sun. He is our king, and he is capable. He is able. He is strong. He is anointed. He is God. He is your father. He is Jehovah Adonai. He's Jehovah Shechem. He's Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Adonai, Jehovah Makedes. He is Jehovah Rapha, your healer. I'm telling you, he is the great I am. He is I am whatever you need. Come on, somebody ought to give him praise. remain standing with me. Those of you that didn't stand up, go ahead now. And I want to pray for you. And I know that this message worked. And the reason why I know is because that wasn't me. I can't build a sermon like that in 45 minutes. But it dropped in my spirit on 5-5 because God's getting ready to grace you. These are your banner years. These are your years of influence. These are your years of increase. These are your exceedingly abundantly above. These are the glorious times that you've dreamed of. You'll look back years from now and say, those were the good old days. Because God's getting ready to turn it around when you look again. But you don't look in the natural. You look with your eyes of faith on. You start saying what's going to happen in your life. Nothing great comes to average people who speak average words. But God takes great glory in using the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And I'm here to say that I didn't go to Bible school. And I don't know how to pastor a church like this. I didn't know how to build a church like this. A lot of people go to school to try to build a church like this. And they listen to, you know, teachers who have never done it. Because those who can't teach. But I'm just here to tell you that if you'll show up and you'll just stay faithful, God will take you beyond your wildest dreams and you'll look back and say, thank God I obeyed the Lord. Thank God I didn't let the devil steal my hope. Somebody ought to help because you're this close. You just look again. Let's all just pray together right now. And those of you online, and I want to encourage you, if you're watching tonight and give me this camera here, and you're close to this church, you should never just alienate yourself and just stay home because it's easy. Church online is a wonderful thing and it's a very dangerous thing. I want you to come to church. Maybe you heard this message tonight and you feel like, man, that was great. I'm telling you, what's better? A meal when you sit down and they bring it to you, or after it's a carryout? It's always better at the restaurant. It's better right then when it's served. And so I want you to make a decision tomorrow to get to Weldon, get to Sunset Hills, get to Earth City, get here. We're going to do it again. But honor God. The more you honor God, the more He'll honor you. Father, I pray right now for this, our family. God, I pronounce a blessing over them. I say that they're going to look again at the job. They're going to stop saying, oh man, the good old days are gone, or I can't get that contract, or well, I don't get good breaks, or that always happens to me. They're going to reverse it, and they're going to say, no. If anything good is going to happen, it's going to happen to me. I always get all the good breaks. I always get the sweet deals. I always have exceedingly abundantly and above all I could ever ask or imagine. And God, I pronounce that blessing over them right now in the name of Jesus. God, I pray that there's a new commitment. I hear the Holy Spirit say, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. What you felt tonight, I gave my servant this word for you tonight, says the Lord. It was for you. Don't think it was for them. Know that it was custom made, like a tailor-made suit to you, form-fitted right now for this occasion, for this moment in time. This is your word. Don't allow the enemy to steal your word. Look again and listen to it again. But draw nigh to me. Get connected with my word. And if you will mix the right combination of the word with worship in your daily life, it'll influence the decisions that you're making. It'll relieve the oppression that you're dealing with. It'll take away the fear and the desperation and depression that has been attacking and stalking you, looming over your head. And it'll allow you to see the glorious good future that I have for you. I set and seal this with the blood of Jesus and the hand of the Lord. In Christ's name we pray. And everyone said,
we're glad you joined us today. We know God is doing so much in and through your life, and we want to hear about it. If you take a moment and send us an email and tell us your story at yournewfriend@faithchurch.com. Also, if you'd like to support and partner with this ministry, we'd love for you to go to faithchurch.com/give and simply select the best giving option for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message.